This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
What do you think was causing you to think so much, maybe think too much?
You know, could be coaching.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Boy, that was a saga at Halas Hall when Justin Fields called out coaching a little bit and it got exacerbated by a tweet, and we were all back down in the locker room talking to Justin Fields about the perception that he had thrown a coach under the bus. Subsequently, he and Lou Getsy hugged it out on the practice field, and everybody was okay. Who knows the real story or what is real and what is not in terms of Justin Fields' relationship with Lou Getsy? I think that personally those two, there was never an issue, but clearly I don't know that those two were always on the same page when it came down to what was happening on the field. So we welcome you back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody. I am here with you until 3 o'clock today. In about 20 minutes or so, we'll open the phone lines again. And if you are just hanging out on hold listening to the show, that's cool. That's fine. I'll get to you guys in a little bit. But right now, let's talk to another one of the guys on the Bears beat on a daily basis, the Chicago Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs. He is Herb Howard, and he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois as we talk about Justin Fields being traded to Pittsburgh. What's going on, Herb? How are you today?
I'm all good, Brody. What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I am feeling well. We knew that this day was probably coming in terms of talking about Justin Fields and reflecting on Justin Fields and all the angles that go into it, but what was your reaction when you heard that Justin Fields was traded?
Yeah, certainly not surprised. Like you said, you know, it was hot, very probable that this day was going to come. Still disappointing, though. You thought that he would have a long tenure here. I certainly still believe that he has the tools to be a very successful quarterback. I was on record. I think that was the best path forward for the Bears in terms of trading down and continuing to build around him. Obviously, Ryan Poles didn't have the right to make that decision. He chose otherwise. And now the Bears look to move on, obviously, probably with Caleb Williams. But I think disappointment would be the first kind of thought I had about Justin's tenure ending here in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you've been a strong supporter of Justin Fields' game, and you were on the path of, with a lot of people, on the path of trade that number one pick and build it around Justin Fields. So, Herb, what did you see in Justin Fields in terms of that they should build around him, that he is your franchise quarterback, that maybe not a lot of other people saw?
Yeah, I just think that Justin Fields is capable of doing everything on the football field that you need a quarterback to do. We've seen him make every throw that you would want your quarterback to make. Certainly the consistency was not there throughout his tenure here in Chicago, but the ability to do it was on display often enough. He's a great leader. He works hard at it. His teammates love him. He's great for the community. He's great for the city of Chicago. Showed up in the community, gave back a lot. So I just thought that, you know, he was the guy that could be the face of this franchise for a very long time. I thought he was putting some not advantageous positions, you know, going back to his rookie year, then certainly the second year when they tanked, and finally they started to get it together this year. And, you know, as they continue to build this team, bringing in guys like Keenan Allen and others, unfortunately, he's not going to get the opportunity play with a full complement of weaponry on the offense.
That said, Herb, does it, though, surprise you that it doesn't appear that there was a team that was interested in having Justin Fields be their starting quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, the market didn't really seem to develop for him. And, you know, ultimately, he ends up in Pittsburgh. I think it's a great situation for him. I think he'll be very successful when his time does come out there in Pittsburgh with Coach Mike Tomlin. And so, again, we've seen bad quarterback play in the city of Chicago, right? We've seen guys that look go on the field and say, that guy just can't play, really can't do it. I never thought that for a second about Justin Fields in terms of watching him play. There was a lot of things going on that led to the Bears not being successful over the past 3 years. But I don't think that Justin Fields was the main reason for it. And I think that given the right situation, he can be extremely successful. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to reap the benefits of making this trade that didn't cost them much at all.
Herb, I've had a decent amount of people text the show today. Typically, when I bring up Keenan Allen's name and the Justin Fields supporters, their angle is, why couldn't you have done that for Justin Fields and put this around him? And, you know, that's a common thing that is said. Sure. Like, what do you think? I guess the bigger question is, was Justin Fields treated fairly in terms of his ability to succeed with the Chicago Bears?
No, absolutely not. I think that would be tough for anybody to look at the situation that he was brought into and say that he was treated fairly. He came in, obviously met Nagy's last year here, didn't really get a whole lot of reps going leading into his rookie year. Then he kind of got thrown into that fire. Everybody remembers that Cleveland game. And so that wasn't a really good situation. And then obviously the next year, the team was stripping the roster down to a stud. And so they just didn't have a lot of talent on the field on either side of the ball towards by the end of that season. And so no chance for success there. And then, like I said, you come into this year with a little bit more expectations. You got DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. So, you know, you start to see a little bit of progress. He had the injury there. And I guess ultimately it just wasn't enough for the Bears to say, okay, we're going to go with him, as opposed to kind of resetting that rookie quarterback clock and bringing in a guy like Caleb Williams that a lot of people think is a generational talent. So I think ultimately, was it fair? No, but it doesn't have to be fair, right? It's not, life isn't fair. So it wasn't fair to Justin, but it is what it is. And, you know, now Ryan Poles looks to move on, and we'll see. Only time will tell if he made the right decision.
What do you think of Caleb Williams?
I think he's had a really good college career. I think, you know, every year we hear about these transcendent talents, and maybe he is one. I've only thought, you know, three times in my life that there was a can't-miss quarterback prospect coming out, and I thought it was Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and Deshaun Watson. So I don't necessarily have the same expectations. You talk about, you know, is he the next Patrick Mahomes? I think that's a huge, it's very ambitious. Let me say that's very ambitious. Patrick Mahomes is on the Mount Rushmore of all-time quarterbacks in the National Football League, and to assume that you're going to draft anyone like that is ambitious at best. And so I look at the Mount Rushmore. You talk about Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Montana. Like, these aren't guys that were, you know, coming out number one pick. Brady's obviously 199. Rodgers went 22 or 23. And then Patrick Mahomes was 11 and three or four quarterbacks went before him. So I don't know that we could just identify that kind of all-time greatness from a quarterback coming out. I certainly hope that Caleb Williams reaches his full potential and goes on to lead the Bears to tons of success and multiple Super Bowls over the next 10 years or so.
You called it right with your franchise, or at least that's the way it was starting with Deshaun Watson. He derailed that himself. But good discipline on your part to not – you didn't have Trevor Lawrence as a slam dunk, huh?
No, I didn't. I thought he does a lot of things well, but I didn't think he does anything so well that he would transcend to that level when you're talking about guys that are can't miss, they're going to be Hall of Fame. Like, that's the type of player that I'm talking about when you say, oh, this guy is generational. And I think that we throw that term around so much. It's like, well, if he's generational, that means he's going to go to the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, like, no, I'm not saying he's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, yes, you are saying that. Like, so just stand on it. Again, I think, you know, I think that the kid has a lot of tools. I hope he has the mental makeup to be able to withstand a city like Chicago. Brody, you know better than most the pressure that comes with Chicago and being in this media market. And so hopefully he's able to withstand that and continue to perform on the football field. I think he's got a lot of tools. Obviously, the Bears have gone through the process and vetted him as much as they possibly can, and they believe he's the guy that's going to lead the Bears to multiple Super Bowls. And I certainly hope that he is.
How do you think Justin, like, when we reflect on it now, and I know everybody was critical of Justin Fields' demeanor a lot of times up at the podium, including myself, just like at times where you just didn't feel like he was giving us much. How do you think he matched up against the big market Chicago media? Because I think that the, you know, I noticed he didn't mention anything about the media in his goodbye letter, and he shouldn't have. There's no reason for it. And towards the end, I don't think as a collective media, I don't think he was particularly fond of us. But how do you think he handled that part of it? Because that's a part that he's going to continue to have to handle if he is to start again. And I, like you, think that there is hope that he could be a starter again someday.
Yeah, I thought sometimes he handled it well. I thought other times he kind of let the pressure kind of get to him. I remember sitting down with him before week one of this past season and asking him about that pressure and being, you know, 23, 24 years old and carrying the weight of a city like Chicago on your shoulders. And he's like, I'm prepared for it. I can handle that. And for the most part, I think he did. I thought, obviously, on the clip that you played leading into our conversation today, that was the day where I didn't think he handled it that well. I mean, I didn't think that he necessarily needs to come out and say what he said about, you know, coaching and being overcoached. But if that was his truth, that's fine to say it. But then when you double back a little bit later and you got to call this kind of impromptu press conference at your locker, I thought that wasn't handled very well on a lot of fronts. And so I thought for the most part he handled it well. He seems to be able to deal with a market like Chicago. Now he's going to Pittsburgh. That's a very, very passionate fan base too. So, you know, when his turn comes there, he's going to have to continue to deal with those things. But I thought for the most part, he did it really well. You know, he would seem a little bit disinterested at times. That wasn't my personal experience with him. I tend to get pretty good interactions with him. And when I, you know, wanted to sit down with him one-on-one, he was always willing to do those things. So I was always appreciative of him for that. But as a collective, yeah, sometimes he showed up there and seemed a little bit disinterested in being at the podium. But I certainly understand that a lot of those guys come to the podium, you know, very defensive, expecting the media to be trying to pick them apart or attack them or put them in, you know, weird situations. And so I thought he was a little bit defensive at times, but for the most part, I thought he handled being the franchise, the face of the Chicago Bears very, very well.
That was really well summarized. As we're talking to Herb Howard, beat reporter for It's the Bigs. Herb always with some great takes. And, you know, look at the I find myself, Herb, honestly, like I know a lot of people are like, that you got a conditional sixth-rounder in 2025. I don't know why. Maybe this is wrong. I don't really care. I don't really care what they didn't get back. And, you know, it's underwhelming. But I didn't know that I would react that way because it just needed to be done. So, like, it got to a point where things would have been untenable if they were going to bring Caleb Williams in. They had to do it. That's the way I feel. How did you feel about what the Bears got for Justin Fields, this man that you support as well?
Yeah, that's spilled milk. You know what I mean? I think it is what it is. They got back what they got back for. They made their decision. The only thing that mattered was that they made the decision who they wanted to be playing quarterback for them going forward. And once they made that decision, everything else thereafter was just whatever the process would be. And so I'm sure they would hope to have gotten more for him in return, but it is what it is. I think, you know, once people know what you plan to do, it kind of takes away your leverage. It's kind of similar to what they're dealing with their negotiations, you know, out in Arlington Heights. You bought the land, right? And so once everybody knows that you bought the land, negotiating from that deficit is a little bit hard. And so once people were of the mind nationally and locally that the Bears were going to draft Caleb Williams, you understood that they had to get rid of Justin Fields. And that just kind of limits what you can do in terms of leverage in those negotiations. So I'm with you on that road. It didn't really matter, you know, what came back. Certainly they would have liked to get more. That would have been great for them. That didn't happen. And, you know, now they just turn their attention to Caleb Williams and make sure they bring him into the best situation possible, which the Bears have not done for any of their young quarterbacks before. It wasn't a great situation that Mitch Trubisky walked into. It certainly wasn't a great situation that Justin Fields walked into. Caleb is going to walk into a much healthier situation, which is good for him and good for the Bears.
What's been your – well, I guess probably that was going to ask you what your favorite part of the offseason is. I guess it's got to be Keenan Allen, right? that's the move so far.
Yeah, no, that's really, really good. You're talking about pairing him with DJ Moore and the mismatches that you can create. Keenan Allen has been, you know, one of the better receivers of his generation. He's consistently gotten 100 catches a season, 1,000 yards a season. And so bringing him in, and now he's not even, probably for the first time since maybe his rookie year, he's not going to be the focal point of the defense in terms of the passing game. He's going to get be that second guy that they're kind of looking to, because DJ Moore is still going to command all of that attention. And so now Keenan Allen is going to get some favorable coverages, probably for the first time since his rookie year. And you still got Cole Kmet in the middle of the field. They bring over, you know, Gerald. Like they bring Gerald Everett over as well, but they also get DeAndre Swift, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. And so you're talking about an offense that is set up to be really, really dangerous, and they can be really multiple in terms of their formations and personnel groupings. And I think Keenan Allen is going to be a huge, huge part of that. He brings a lot of experience. There's nothing he hasn't seen. The picture of consistency, and I think that he's going to take advantage of having a guy like DJ Moore on the field with him.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's irresistible looking for sure. Herb, I want you to take a crack at the question that I've asked our previous two guests, David Haw and Dan Weider, a question that Chuck Swirsky asked me last night during the Bulls broadcast, and that is trying to figure out what the legacy of Justin Fields is with the Chicago Bears. How would you answer that question?
Unfulfilled. I would say unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought he came in. I remember how excited the city was when the Bears traded up and actually drafted him. It seemed like, wait, they traded up. Like, are they actually going to draft him? And they drafted him. And everybody was so excited for what that meant. And, you know, we had finally solved the Bears, you know, almost franchise-long issue at quarterback. And it just never really materialized for a lot of reasons. Some of that on Justin, some of that on the organization. But it never really materialized. And so I feel like just unfulfilled hopes and aspirations, because I, too, was of the mind that, you know, the Bears had finally figured out their quarterback situation for the long term and they had the right guy. And it just didn't come to pass for a lot of reasons. And so just unfulfilled, man. I thought it could have been a really, really great thing. I was looking forward to it, and, you know, it just didn't materialize. So hopefully the Bears take another swing at it, and Caleb becomes that guy. And hopefully for Justin, he gets in a situation where he's able to utilize his skill and get surrounded by talent and by coaching that's going to help him reach his fullest potential and be very successful out there in Pittsburgh. It's a good situation for him there, and the Bears were in a good situation either way. And so they've chosen their route, and I think it's a good situation for them and Caleb Williams. And, you know, we'll see how quickly they can become Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah, and at least publicly, Justin Fields doesn't seem embittered. Look, when you lose your job, of course, there's going to be some of that naturally. But
sure,
knowing him a little bit, the way you know him, Herb, mm-hmm. do you mm-hmm. feel like he – I mean, of course he's going to want to beat the crap out of the Bears every chance he gets. But do you feel like he's comfortable with this after everything, or do you think that he's kind of feels like he leaves, he was treated unfairly, and he's all of a sudden in no man's land because of the Bears?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's disappointed. It feels like he was treated unfairly, but – knowing him, I also know he's going to be extremely motivated by this. He's going to, you know, use this to propel him forward. I'm sure he's going to hold on to some of, you know, the anger or disappointment or resentment or whatever it may be. He's always going to say the right thing publicly. He's a really solid young man, and I think he's always going to do the right thing in terms of that. But if you don't think he's going to use it for fuel and motivation going forward, you don't understand how competitive that kid is. He's going to use this, and I think it's going to propel him forward. And so, unfortunate situation that it didn't work out here. But like I said earlier, he's immensely talented. He's driven. He works hard at it. The game is important to him. And in the right situation, I believe he's going to thrive. And I think he'll always kind of hold on, you know, to the experience that he had here. And not only the bad things, but the good things as well. And he'll use those things to prepare him forward. I have no doubts or concerns about Justin still becoming a successful starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Herb, you are probably my favorite Herb Howard in the world, and there's a lot of Herb Howards in this world. I looked it up. I Googled it. There's millions.
You are definitely my favorite Mark Grody, man, so it's all good, brother. I appreciate you.
Love you, Herb. Talk to you soon, man. I know I'll be seeing you soon at Halas Hall or whatever, wherever we are gathered next. That is the great Herb Howard, the Chicago Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs, and yeah, he held strong and backed his points well always about Justin Fields, and he gives you some of that supportive side of Justin Fields, as you probably needed some of that. Some of the folks out there listening that were and are, and hey, should be big Justin Fields fans. Spring training action for the Cubs continues today against the Rangers. Coverage begins at 2:55, right here on 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman, Ron Coomer on the call. And for the latest news on the Cubs or Sox, try listening to chapters from our show through the Odyssey app. Just search for 670 The Score and tap on a recent episode of our show to get started. You can do that with the show that I have been performing today. If you want to go back on the Odyssey app and the chapters and you just press, like if you want to hear David Haw, is this Haw, at 1 o'clock, you just press the Haw button. And you could hear David Haw. You want to hear Dan Wiederer? He was on at 140. Just go back to 140, press the button, throw him in the bathroom. And then if you'd like to hear what Herb and I were just kibitzing about, go there. 2 o'clock. That was 20 minutes ago. You press the button, and then you can hear what Herb Howard had to say. It's exactly how I listen to The Score a lot. I listen a decent amount live because I don't really have a whole lot else to do, but the chapters thing is great because you don't have to have that anxiety when you're, oh, man, I got to hear this. I'm going to miss it. No, just if, you know, got to take the call and then go back to or just pause it. It really is a great app. It really is. And nobody told me to promote this. 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm Mark Grody. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take our final short break. Short breaks on a Saturday or Sunday. And then it'll be all you and I, just all the way up to what, 255, Robbie? That's when Cubs baseball is. So quick break, come back, and then we're going to do an extended amount of commercial-free Bears talk featuring you at 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. We are talking about Justin Fields and the Bears on The Score.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Everybody's mock drafted you to the Bears for a couple months. There's a million Photoshops of you in a Bears uniform. Getting to talk to them for the first time here, what's it been like?
It was good. It was good. Everybody was, you know, cool, and that's a Gen Z, I guess, kind of word to use. But you know, it was really nice. It was they were mainly testing me on my mental, you know, seeing, you know, how I would handle things, and you know, putting a play up on the board, and then 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, asking me to recall it and things like that. So it was good. It was a good meeting.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Man, now it's real, or at least a huge step closer to being real, that Caleb Williams will be the guy drafted by the Bears at number one overall and will be handed the football to start on opening day for the Chicago Bears. And I say, it's like, okay, it's you now. Now you better work that magic that we've all been pushing on everybody. When it comes to Caleb Williams, things got a little bit more real with Justin Fields being traded to Pittsburgh. As I welcome you back in on The Score, I am Mark Grody, here with you until the start of Cubs baseball at 2:55. And so we're here straight through, man. No more breaks, nothing. So if you wanted to react to the Justin Fields trade, 312-644-6767. If you want to take a stab at what you feel like Justin Fields' legacy is in this town, I would love to hear that as well. So it's here. It's fun to look at Caleb Williams' tape, though, and watch video and just watch games and look at numbers. You can just look at, pick a number, like touchdowns to interceptions. Last year, 30 touchdowns to 5 picks. The year before that, 42 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Does it at all angles. Arm strength is there. Feels like he can read the field and all of that. I mean, I'm not going to say we know yet because, yes, quarterbacks bust. Caleb Williams could end up being a bust. But there is a lot of good to discuss when it comes to Caleb Williams's game. And obviously that was Caleb Williams from the combine, and we'll find out soon enough, April, or maybe the word will get leaked. We'll find out if Ryan Poles is on board with just about everybody else that Caleb will be your number one overall pick. All right, 312-644-6767. Back to the phones we go. We start with Tom in Naperville. Thomas, what's going on? You're on the Score.
Hey, great show. Fields couldn't read defenses. End of story. That's it.
Good.
Now, the question I have is, I've been in this town for X amount of years. We've gone through 37 quarterbacks, something like that. How come we don't ever, nobody ever, ever talks about our quarterback coaches? We have these kids that come in, and you know what? I mean, Green Bay sort of has figured it out the last 30 years with three. I don't get it. We just don't. Hey, offensive coordinator, fine. But he can only do so much with what the quarterback coach does as far as the talent. And this kid's going to come in. This kid's going to come in raw. He's great talent. But somebody get Peyton Manning in here for a month. Good God.
Yeah.
I would. If I was Williams, the money he's going to make, I'd pay Manning $1 million. To spend a month with me.
I mean, yeah, let's see what Troy Aikman's up to. You know, call some of these guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, why don't we hit I wonder who the quarterback coach this year coming up is from Seattle, I think.
Shane Waldron. No, the quarterback coach is. He's Kerry Joseph, 51-year-old, four seasons with the Seahawks. I mean, I don't mind that. Like, you bring in the guy that you work well with, but it's always been. I hear what you're saying, man. Because the quarterback has been unsuccessful in this town, generally speaking, it's fair to wonder about all of the guys that are closest to the quarterback in this town. Like, for instance, Andrew Janoco was the quarterback's coach around Justin Fields, so there is culpability there. You had Dave Ragone in the past. He was the Mitch Trubisky. Remember? He was the Trubisky guy.
Oh, my God.
Another name in the recent. And this guy had a decent resume, but John DeFilippo was a quarterback's coach.
As many quarterback coaches as we have quarterbacks.
Wow. You know what? I'm actually not happy with you. You know why? We've got our hands full going through the list of bad quarterbacks and offensive coordinators, and you're making me play the game with the quarterback coaches now.
I know. Crazy. Great show.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean, I don't want to start going back in the quarterback coach realm. I don't know if they've probably – I would bet they haven't always had a quarterback's coach. I wonder one specifically. That can't be something that the NFL has always had, a quarterback's coach. I mean, it makes sense. And they do spend a lot of time with those guys. That's for sure. But we don't have great access to those guys anymore. Like the quarterback coaches, I was talking about Andrew Janoco. You know, we'd get to talk to him about once a month. And when we did get to talk to him, it was good access. But it just wasn't frequent access. Same with Dave Ragone and John DeFilippo and fill-in-the-blank quarterbacks coach. Man, I didn't want to have to play the game with that. I mean, it's always tempting to play it with the quarterbacks coach or the offensive coordinators, but we don't need it with the – so let me go to another call. Let's clean the slate with Fred in Naperville. Hello, Fred. You're on the Score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm very optimistic, and I also want to say I'm pretty sure – that I'm realistic when I look at this. I don't think the Bears have ever been in a position like this, let alone any other team. And I think when you're in that position, you got to kind of approach everything with a mindset, throw the book out the window, because we try to build the team and then go get the quarterback. You know, we had Urlacher, Briggs, we were there, you know, and Cutler wasn't the answer. So then you double down with the whole thing with Trubisky and Watson, when number one pick staring you in the face, and you go and mess that up. So the Bears have screwed up every conventional way to develop a quarterback, draft a quarterback, sign a quarterback. At this point, throw the book out the window, take a step back, and remember there was a time and place where we couldn't get Chase Claypool, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. My GM takes big swings, and he makes big misses. What I don't like is he did jump the gun by saying he'd do right by Fields. You know, you're at the poker table. You should have held that card. You know, maybe the value would have jumped up when you decided to say, okay, now we're moving on. But, you know, it's a price, man. He's 10-28. You had your chance. We wouldn't be in this position if you would have shown us you were the guy. And I'm, you know, the quarterback coach, head coach, you know, system, turnover. Yeah, it accounts for certain things. But again, you know, we see it in Houston, you know, with your underclassmen, and he's doing fine. So, you know, when the challenges are there, you either rise up and you overcome them, or you prove that you're not the guy. That's it, man.
Yep. Great call. And you were right at the outset, too. This is an extraordinarily unique situation. Look, it's always unique or extraordinary for whichever franchise has the number one overall pick. But you're rolling into a season where there was improvement in the previous year. There were 7 wins, which makes it a very unique situation. And in terms of developing quarterbacks in every which way, to the caller's point, which was a good one, you're right. They have done that. Like, again, the ideas the Bears have had for quarterbacks have not been problematic to me when we talk about the big names. I liked, who didn't like what they did to get Jay Cutler? Well, actually, there were some people who were very mad that Kyle Orton was out the door. So there's always going to be a second side to it. But when Jay Cutler came here, that was a massive, big, appreciated swing by then general manager Jerry Angelo. And it, God, did that feel good. But on the overall, it was a fail. It ended up not working out the way it was supposed to. Jay Cutler was fine on the overall, but relative to what they gave up, what we thought he was as a talent and communicator and teammate, there were some things that did not translate to what we thought on the field. Was Jay Cutler bad? No. Does he go on the horrible list of Bears quarterback? No, he does not belong on that. He had a lot of really good moments, too. I mean, there was an NFC title game. So they're like, Jay Cutler did not embarrass himself as a Chicago Bear. It did not work. So it was not developed on Jerry Angelo and Lovie Smith's watch. That is absolutely true. And then the Justin Fields era, which we are winding down literally as we speak, fluid situation, that Justin Fields was, you know, that felt like an ideal situation as well. I skipped right past Mitch Trubisky. You know, Jay Cutler, Mitch Trubisky, Justin Fields, and soon to be Caleb Williams. These are real swings that look good in a lot of cases, but have gone wrong for whatever reason. And just about everything can be entertained. Like, I am not here to tell people that they're wrong. That the Bear, like, if you feel like the Bears coaching staff did Justin Fields wrong, like the previous caller said, calling out quarterback coaches and the supports that Shane Waldron, who brings in his guy from Seattle, like if you feel like they have been done wrong by the coaching, I understand it. I mean, I do, because the evidence in a sustained way simply does not exist for a developed, realized quarterback in this town. We go to Ben now. Ben is on the score. Oh, Ben!
No, yeah, how are you guys doing?
The best.
Okay.
We're doing the best.
Don't worry, I'll tell you, I'll give you some real good news. Don't worry about my Cubs, okay? The Cubs, they got a hell of a coach. I can guarantee you
Direct
that.
Counsel, yeah, you like you some counsel,
oh,
huh?
Oh, boy, you wait and see. Jesus. You wait and see. World Series this year.
Okay. Wow.
I know him personally.
Oh.
And I know what kind of guy he is.
Okay.
He will get the best. Take it to the bank. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I love hearing it. Did he actually say to you?
He was in 2 World Series. Okay.
Yeah. He hit. I think he scored a game-winning run in one with Arizona, right?
Yep. He knows it. And down in Florida.
That's right.
He knows baseball. Nobody can fool him. He's way ahead of the people.
How many wins? Let me ask you this question. Seriously, Ben. How many wins do you think somebody like Craig Counsell is worth for the Cubs?
Well, he's probably going to get over $10 million. He's got incentives and everything. Like I said, I know him personally.
No, I believe you. The question
though, was how many actual wins do you think somebody like Craig Counsell is worth? Like, how many wins does he provide or add to or produce by himself? Because he's Craig Counsell.
You're talking about monetarily?
Not monetarily. Just like literally, how many wins is he worth?
That he will win
because he's a great manager and his tactics and his whatever he does.
Okay, they play 160 games, right?
162. Oh, wait, are we down to 160 now? I forget. Yeah, 162 still. Yeah.
Okay, 162. Okay. They play relatively about 6 months out of the year, maybe if they go into October.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
So here's what I'm going to tell you guys. Take this to the bank.
Okay.
Craig Counsell will have 90 wins or above. Above.
90.
Okay. Wins.
90. I mean, I actually don't think 90 wins would be credit. Would be crazy. We're not getting to my question, but that, I mean, the fact that you got them down for 90, that actually does not sound like out of the realm of possibility.
He is so good. He knows how to manage people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I understand.
The best. And he's looking at all these guys right now with the Cubs that he's looking for talent, for longevity, and he's got a good farm club to go by. He's pretty damn smart. That's all.
Ben, how do you know Mr. Counsell?
Because he's a very good friend of mine.
Oh, okay.
I live in Racine. A friend of mine is a personal friend of his. And
okay.
I went to a lot of games when they were with the Brewers.
I think you're right. No, I mean, like, honestly, like, I from what I've heard from Craig Counsell, and I've met Craig Counsell. I have had my microphone in his face when I worked the Cubs circuit, and I'd be sitting in the dugout with Craig Counsell or with other reporters, and he always seemed like a really measured guy. So I've loved hearing what he said. I like his baseball philosophy, Ben, seriously.
Yeah, okay, you're Mark Grody, right?
That's right.
Okay, Mark, listen, okay, you're on top of these things. Just think about this now with Counsell, okay? He's talking about wisdom and things like that. Okay, he knows how to get stuff, like I said, out of these people, and he looks for the best. And he's got a good farm club. He watches everything close. He's a guy of numbers. And believe me, I said this to somebody before. I said, Craig Counsell's going to be, he'll have nine, if you got 160 games over there like that or whatever, he'll have 90 of them. So you play the math.
Also, I think you did understand the spirit of my question. You think that he'll be responsible for 90 games this year in the win column
by the
lineups that he puts together, pulling out the pitchers at the right time, the relief moves, the late outfield replacement, all of that stuff. Okay. 90.
Look at this. Mark, I got to say, add one thing. Look at Devin Williams. That adds up to something right there. He's going to be out of the game now,
Devin.
Probably from the end of the season.
Who?
That gives you the extra. Devin Williams from the Brewers.
Devin Williams?
He's not. He's out with some back
injury. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I do not. You just hit a blind spot.
Right,
I don't know Devin Williams, my friend. I don't.
But then figure that in. That's a little premium there.
Okay.
Because if he's out, that means a lot because he's really damn good in Milwaukee.
Yeah. So you're a Brew. You are a fan of the Crew, then, I assume, Ben. Yes.
Oh no, I'm a fan of the Cubs.
Oh, you are.
I've got it all the time. You know, I'll tell you something else about Counsell. He's really enjoying himself here. He has said that to people that I know.
What was that?
Counsell is enjoying him. He says, "Boy, because the Cubs down there, man." You know, those guys down there, they're a Cubs fan, you know, and he got kind of, the people up in Milwaukee got kind of nasty to
really?
Him.
Really? Oh, because he went to the Cubs. No, I get it. Hey, man, sports fans could be, the owner more. Okay, good. I'm glad because
he knows that this is going to be a test. The Cubs are going to win the division for sure. And as long as Devin Williams, they don't have their closer. Figure that.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate it, man. Like, look, they are right now. I feel like a lot of the betting folks like Cincinnati. They probably even like St. Louis a little bit better than the Cubs. But based on what they unexpectedly did last year, even though they choked in the end, I like where you're going with this, my friend. I appreciate that, Ben. Good call. And we didn't even get – didn't you want to talk about the Bears?
Yeah, he did not want to talk about the Cubs at all. Also, a lot of the texters are asking if that was Mike Ditka.
Oh, yeah, it could have been Dick. You know, Ditka's getting a little older. You know, he doesn't sound quite the same. But no, that was wonderful. And he does know Craig Counsell. And if I get the opportunity to personally meet Craig Counsell, and maybe I probably at some point in time will talk to Craig Counsell, and I will ask him about Ben. I will see.
Yeah.
He'll be like, oh, yeah, Ben.
He's also worth 90 wins. Don't even put players on the field. You could put anybody on the field. I could play the field and I could get it.
You know, he outsmarted me because I was like, oh, Ben wasn't listening. No, Ben said that they will win. I think that was the culprit, that the Cubs will win 90 games because of Craig Counsell. I didn't even ask the total, so that probably comes out to about 127 wins.
I think it's
altogether.
Over 162.
Yeah, what's the Yankees record? Yeah, it's over 100. The Cubs are going to win 236 games next year.
Yeah,
by Ben math. I appreciated that call. I needed just a little bit of a moment. Let me get back to the real stuff here. It's Bob from Naperville. Hello, Bob. You're on the score with me, Mark Grody. Yes, it's me, Mark Grody. Yep, yep.
Hey, Mark. It's Bob from Arlington Heights.
Oh, they said Naperville. Nice going, Robbie.
I was going to say, now Steve Rosenblum has Jane in Philadelphia, and you got Ben and Racine. is this Mark Gross?
You're right. You're right. Because he called up. Who am I talking to anyway? Steve Rose. Okay, yeah. Steve. Thanks. I'll talk to you later.
Excuse me. What is your name, the host?
Excuse me. What is your name?
I'm actually going to call an audible here.
Oh.
Omaha.
Omaha!
But since we brought up baseball and the number of wins, I don't know how many wins Counsell will be responsible for next year, but I do know this. The reason Counsell is here, last year I said the Cubs were going to win 87 games. They won 83.
Yeah.
And I personally hold David Ross responsible for at least four games that I can think of that his decisions lost. The most egregious was when he yanked Jameson Taillon after five innings or six innings of spotless baseball. I can do that because I'm the manager. Mm. Well, if you remember, they came up one game short of playoffs.
Oh, man.
So, you know, when he got yanked and they put Counsell in, I said, you know what? 87 games, they'd still be playing.
I got to admit that when he did that, I remember that, and I might have been on the air the next day. I supported it, and the reason that I supported David Ross taking Jameson Taillon out there is Taillon had just been so bad leading up to that it felt like, okay, let's not push it any further. That's the way I looked at it.
Hey, I know, you know, it's like, hey, you and I haven't met, but I'm a longtime caller on Les's program, and I'm a geezer. But
I love the geezers, you know. Bob. I am geezer friendly. I don't know if you know that about me. I am.
My quarterback resume in my lifetime with the Bears, you know, I remember Bill Wade winning the National Football Championship before the Super Bowl existed.
That's
when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I've seen them all. I still think we're going to have a minor controversy even with Fields gone, because now who's going to wear number 13? Is it going to be Allen or is it going to be Caleb?
It's a really simple answer. You ready for this? Tyler Scott. Tyler Scott.
Yeah, good point.
That's his jersey. It goes through Tyler Scott until it's not Tyler Scott. So, Bob, thank you so much for the call. Good to hear from you. Any friend of Grobber's is a friend of mine. And yeah, I understand that. You know, like, I am a middle-aged man, so I appreciate, like, I am the bridge between the youth and the geezers. Like, I feel like I can hold my own with the youngins and the geezers. I am your guy. I am absolutely your guy. Tune in tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. for BetQL's Countdown to Tip-Off as Nick Costos and Ken Barkley break down the brackets immediately after they're released. Who will be their best bets to cut down the nets? It's Countdown to Tip-Off on BetQL tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. So
Oh my goodness. I did hear the floating angelic voice of Sarah McLachlan in my peripheral hearing. Oh, she's just so, so, so comforting. Taking day one of March Hoops with Circa Sports Illinois and 670 The Score this Thursday from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Parkins and Spiegel will be live this afternoon from 2 to 6 at Real Time Sports. Go to circasports.com for more info. Thank you to David Haw, Dan Wiederer, and Herb Howard for joining. Love you Bears fans out there for all the calls and all of the interactions. Hope you have a great rest of your Sunday. Zach Zabin and Ron Coomer are next with Cubs Baseball on The Score.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.